Welcome to Guarding Talk back onto NURFM. Greg Richard joined by Judy Sharp. Good afternoon, Judy.
Good afternoon, Greg.
It's a real spring day today, or nearly a summer's day.
Oh, it is. I think it's, what, about 32 out there now.
Oh, rightio.
Yeah, so you've got your shorts on.
Well, yeah, it's going to be hot when I leave.
I shouldn't tell the listeners stuff like that, should I?
No, they don't need that image of my bare legs in their brain. Judy Sharp, what do you got lined up for us today?
Well, look, today I thought, okay, Greg, what is the most photographed tree at this time of year?
Well, I would guess jacaranda.
You're right on the ball, and they're out everywhere, aren't they? They're so beautiful. I think because we got hot weather so early this year.
Okay.
But someone asked me the other day, why didn't there's flower? And I've got a solution to that.
Rightio.
Okay.
Do you want to mention it now, or we'll just tease them?
No. Well, what do you think?
I think we should tease them.
Okay, let's tease them. Stay tuned.
And we've got Lynn from Stanford Mirror, and she's got a question about the naked lady. It's only flowered once this year.
Hello, Lynn. How are you?
I'm well, thank you, Judy. I was just wondering if you could tell me the problems with my naked ladies, as I was always known of them. They come out in a real red bill. I've only had one bloom this year, and usually I have quite a few. I've only got about 8 bulbs in probably a metre square patch.
Right, okay. Look, I have one in my garden, and it was there when I actually built on the land, and that's going back some time now. But the people that owned that land, that was their weekender. They used to go in from the city and camp out there at the weekend and plant so many different bulbs and that. So every year mine shoots out from under the drive. So I can't fertilise it. But Lynn, what I think you need to do, I think you need it to give it some potash.
Potash?
Yeah, potash, okay. Sulphate of potash. You're probably too late this year, aren't you?
Yeah, I'd say so.
You're too late this year, but it won't hurt to put it in the soil now anyway, because as they die down, they make their, you know, their bulbs or whatever for the next year.
Next year.
Yeah.
Okay, then.
Sulphate of potash.
They all come out beautiful green, but one stem of flowers, and usually I get about 3 on one bulb.
Yeah, so that's all I'd be looking for.
Okay, Pat, what if I was thinking of digging them up and putting them in a different location?
Well, do you normally get plenty of flowers where they are?
Yes.
I'd leave them there. I think they're just hungry, that's all.
Hungry, okay. Righto, thanks, Judy.
Thanks, Lynn,
very
for the
much.
Call.
Bye.
Bye.
We've got David now from Hinton, and he's got yellow toadstools in his plants.
Oh, David, you've been watering too much.
Is that what it is? I haven't, but my wife probably has.
Ooh. I think that's what it's going to be, yeah.
Okay.
Yep, very simple.
Yeah.
You know, just you probably have to tie down and say don't water the plants.
Oh, look, I'll have to chop her fingers off or something.
I like that, David. I hope she's not listening.
No, I wouldn't be game if she was.
Well, you just be a good man and go out and dig them out and throw them in the bin or wherever you're going to throw them, and just check up how wet the soil is when you do that.
Yep, will do.
Okay, thanks, David, for the call.
Thanks, Judy.
Bye.
And we've got Jeff from Wanji, and he's looking at repotting his orchids.
Hello, Jeff. How are you?
Yeah, g'day, Judy. I'm well, thanks, but I wish I could play the same from the orchid.
Oh, right. Well, you know, it is time now to do some work on them, so I'm glad you've rung today.
Good.
So are you thinking about repotting?
Oh, I've got to, Judy. The side's broken out the earthenware pot that they're in.
Right.
And you can see the root matrix, it is tangled, and there's probably, I don't know, about 20 bulbs in there. Orchid bulbs, and I need to separate them and put them into other pots because they produce a very attractive orchid.
Right, well, you don't want to lose them, Jeff.
No, I don't.
No, definitely not. Look, I find repotting, they're a cymbidium, aren't they?
Yes, they
are. Yeah, they are cymbidiums. I find repotting them, you can virtually nearly kill them. You know, have you done it before? You just cut down between the bulbs.
Right.
Yeah.
With what, Judy?
Oh, just with a knife, you know, just separate. You know, you can even get the foliage and pull it apart. And I'm kind of demonstrating here to Greg. Sorry, Greg. You pull the foliage apart and that separates the bulbs as well.
What about the root matrix? I mean, there are so many in there and they're all twisted together and I couldn't imagine me getting them out without breaking the root system up.
You know what? It doesn't worry them that much.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yep. No, you've probably been hanging on, haven't you? And
yes.
But look, when you do separate them, you must give them some food now because they'll start to make their new growth and form their bulbs ready for about May next year. So you definitely need to give them the Cymbidium orchid food.
Orchid food?
Yeah.
And give it to them now before I separate them? Or
no, separate them. Put them in their lovely new orchid potting mix and then put a little bit of that on.
All right, and then put an orchid food on top of it, eh?
Yes, definitely.
All right, and you reckon they can take a bit of punishment?
Oh, yes, but don't ring me next week and say they've died, will you?
Well, I'm just the right mate to give them some punishment, but not intentionally. It'll be just what happens.
No, look, I've repotted them, honestly, and my father-in-law used to grow them at Mayfield with the old BHP puffing all over them, and they were out in the open. And, you know, I kind of watched what he did, and he never worried about them being in the open in the sun, you know, which I found difficult. But, no, they do take a little bit of weather. They're not as, how can I say it? Yeah, they're hardier than people think.
Well, mine face due south. There's 14 kilometres of uninterrupted lake in front of my place, and they cop a pounding from the southerlies, they cop a pounding from the sun, and they still produce the goods.
Well, there you go. So we're getting the new potting mix and the orchid food.
All right. Good on you, Judy. Thank you very much. Appreciate your help.
You're welcome, Jeff. Give us a ring in a couple of weeks and let us know they're still alive, will you?
All right, no worries. Thanks, Judy. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Well, we've got Eric now from Bulwara, and he's got some asking for some rose advice.
Oh, hello, Eric.
G'day, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I bet your roses are doing what mine are doing, are they?
I've got three rose bushes. One of them sort of doing okay. One of them's going gangbusters. And the other one I've had a couple of years, but not long after the buds start forming, some of the buds twist to the side. And if it does open, you get a badly deformed bloom with a very little on one side. I've tried rose spray on it, which I don't know if it's having any effect or not, but that's what's happening.
Okay, you and I have the same problem, Eric. I'm pretty sure mine have got bud worm. That's what's forcing them to, you know, look nasty and twisted, and I'm going to spray mine. But you need to do something that's a bit systemic.
Yep.
So that you get inside the rose, the bud.
Right, before the bud forms, sort of.
Yes, yeah. You know, you'll find somewhere a good rose spray and it'll have on the side, you know, for bud worm or, you know, different things like that. So just have a good check out at the local garden centre and see what they've got available.
Okay, then I'll try that.
Yeah, but Eric, you could even take some of the buds along when you go.
Oh, yep.
Good idea.
I've got a very good example right now.
Okay.
Okay.
Hope that helps, Eric.
Right, thanks for your help.
You're welcome.
Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.
We've got Victoria now from Rayworth, and she's asked for some advice with hippiastrums.
Oh, Victoria, you know, you've read my mind. I was going to talk about hippiastrums today.
Oh, look, they're just beautiful when they bloom.
Are they?
They're finished blooming, and I want to cut the stems off, you know, because just leave the foliage. And my husband said, no, you don't do that. You just let it all die down. What do you suggest?
He's exactly right, Victoria. I don't often like to say, you know, your husband's right, but he is right. Looked at mine over the last few days, but where the flower was, have you just got a little clump, a little round?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, a little clump, yes.
Yeah, but you can grow them from that.
Oh, gosh, wonderful.
Yeah, so, but you should let them die down.
Right.
Yeah.
But so, I can remove the little sort of round.
Oh, yes. Yeah, definitely. But leave the foliage as it is and the stems right. and let them die down.
Right.
Okay, so remove that little bump and replant them somewhere else. You'd like them. I think they're great plants.
And I'm going to have to tell my husband he was right after all. Oh, dear.
Oh, well, you know, you could say that, what can we say? No, we can't tell a lie, can we?
No, not really.
Oh, yes, we can. Just tell them he should have worked out what that little clump is. That's the way to go, Victoria. Thank you for
the
call, dear.
Thank you so much for your advice.
You're welcome, dear. Thank you for the call.
Bye.
Bye.
We've got Simon now, and he's got a new variety of passion fruit.
Hello, Simon. How are you?
Oh, good. Thanks, Judy. I don't think it's a new one, but it's an old one. I always thought the grafted was a lot better, but a local nursery up our way said you're probably better off with a non-grafted because the top doesn't die out and you haven't got any growth from the graft underneath.
Right, okay. So can you tell me what the variety is?
It's just a straight black passion fruit, it's called.
Oh, so it's a seedling grown, is it? It's not a graft?
Yeah, I've never tried them. I always thought the grafted was stronger and better, but I'm going to give this a try and just wanted to see what your thoughts were.
No, honestly, Simon, I think they grow quite well from just a seedling grown.
Okay.
The grafts are good, but, you know, often the grafts fail too, whereas the seedling ones, they grow like a little house on fire. Boom, 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 up they grow.
Oh, that's good, because I've got a little shaded area at the side, and that shouldn't take long to cover it and get a bit of fruit as a bonus.
Yeah, now the problem is, before I go, the problem is you won't get fruit as quick as you would on the graft.
Right.
Okay, but don't panic because you're going to get plenty of passions.
Oh, that's good. I'll give that a try. I've also been trying a bit of wood ash too. We lost a few lambs with a wild dog attack and I had a bit of a lamb barbecue and actually got a fair bit of ash. So I'm going to give that a try too. I reckon that'll go good on me tomatoes.
Well, you could try it, yeah. You could try it, but I don't like the sound of the little lambs.
No, well, they all got attacked, so we had to do something with them, but we go in the garden, that's the trouble.
Oh, what a shame, dear. That's a shame.
It is a bit, but I've used that sudden impact before, and the bucket's really good. I use it to collect the dog poop, and when you pull the lid off the dog poop bucket with the sudden impact, you definitely get a sudden impact, that's for sure.
I think it's a great product. Okay, Simon, good luck with that, and let us know how you go.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We've got Rob from Nelson Bay, and he's got a question about poisoning weeds in his garden.
Hello, Rob. What kind of weeds are they? Nasty ones?
Yeah, they are, Judy. There's two particular types. The worst have little burrs, and they're sort of a bit flowery too, but the burrs are very prickly.
Uh-huh. Right, okay. So have you tried anything at all, Rob?
No, I'm trying you.
Okay, well, my solution...
The gardener told Rosie that there's a weed that's very suitable for it, a weed spray that's very suitable for them.
Well,
but
look...
He didn't tell her what they were, what it is.
That's okay. Look, you know, the best way to go is using Zero or Roundup. But the only way to approach that, Rob, is you've got to put on a plastic glove. No. We've got to have a waterproof glove, Rob.
Yep.
A waterproof glove. And then over the top you put on a cotton glove and you just dip your fingers in the Roundup and apply it to the weed. Because if you spray Roundup, it's going to kill everything else in the garden. And I'm gathering you've got plants in there, haven't you?
Yeah, but most of the problem that we've got is either on the nature strip or the reserve.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah. Well, you could spray it, but you can't get it on any plants.
Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, that's Scott Sharp always uses that method. Not that he comes and does my weeds for me, I'll tell you, you know. But look, honestly, Rob, that's the way to go. Why don't you do an experiment first in just a small area?
Okay. And the other weed that is really annoying, I think it's probably a type of clover. It's got yellow, little yellow flowers.
Oh, yes, yep. Yeah, no, look, honestly, that will work on that too.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Now, I should keep it dry for how long after doing this, because the irrigation comes on the nature strip?
Oh, right, okay. No, you'd have to leave it dry at least 6 hours.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Judy.
Okay.
Have a good day.
Good luck with that, and let us know, Rob.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
We've got Anne now from Maitland, and she's looking for ground cover for a dark spot.
Hello, Anne.
Hi, Judy. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. It's a busy day. Did you have to wait very long?
No, not too long.
Oh, that's great, darling.
Yeah,
that's great.
That's good.
Okay, so we want a ground cover for a damp spot.
Well, yes, it's at the side of the house, only about a foot wide, of course, that runs along the path. So it's mainly in shade from the house most of the time, and it tends to be a little bit more damp there. I want it to, you know, green up and not just have the bare dirt there, basically.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Have you ever had grown baby's tears?
No.
Well, you grow those in a little pot for inside, but that will grow out in the garden, and it's called baby's tears. It's a little round leaf. I'm sure you would know it. And I think you'd get one at the garden centre nearby you.
Okay.
Baby's tears, and just plant them out there. You might have to buy a couple, of course.
I was just going to say, how far would one plant spread normally?
Oh, they will spread a fair way, but, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, yep. But also, too, that might be a fairly slow-growing area there if it's, you know, if it's really damp.
Could be.
Yeah, could be. But why don't you toddle along and buy a couple and experiment with them?
Might do that.
That's the only way to go.
Might speak to my gardener and get him to do that.
Oh, that's a good idea. But you know what he can do? He can split them up.
Mm-hmm.
You'll know it as soon as you see it, Anne. It's a lovely little plant.
Probably, yeah. Okay. And can I just, all right, if I ask one more question?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, we've got four little pots outside in the undercover area, and they've just been beautiful all winter with the pansies. But, of course, they're starting to die off now. We tried to buy some phlox. We were at someone's place the other night and they had the little phlox. And I thought, oh, they'd be lovely, but we just can't get them anywhere. Are there any other little flowers that you'd recommend? They're only small pots, really, that just give beautiful colour.
Right, and you couldn't get any phlox. Not in the punnets, not in the seedling
punnets? No.
Oh, that's unusual, isn't it?
Does your nursery have some?
Oh, look, no, we don't at the moment, not at all, no. But you're at Maitland Way, so you've got a fairly big nursery up there, so...
Yeah, no, he said he's asked about them and they haven't got them in and they might come in and...
Oh, right, OK, yeah. Look, it depends, I suppose, on the seedling companies, what they grow as well.
Mm.
Look, off the top of my head, maybe what about impatience?
Impatience,
yeah.
Yeah. Because with the phlox, my friend said she just deadheads them and they just flower nearly all year.
They keep going, they do, yeah.
That's why I thought they'd be ideal rather than, you know, having to...
replace them. What about Sweet William?
Sweet William?
Yeah, see if you might be able to even get seeds for them, Sweet William.
Excuse me.
Are you all right?
Okay. Anyway, my husband likes growing things with seeds.
Sorry. Oh, good. Well, okay. When you go down to the garden centre, I'm sure you'll get Sweet William seeds.
Okay. Well, we'll give that a go.
Yeah, but otherwise, Anne, I'll talk and you don't have to worry about it. Do you ever contact the Diggers Club down in Victoria?
No.
Oh, they're fantastic and they grow every kind of seed you could possibly imagine.
Oh, okay.
And they'll mail it up to you. They mail them up to you. So just contact the Diggers Club down in the Mornington Peninsula and they will send you a catalogue. And I find them absolutely wonderful.
So vegetables as well as flowers?
Everything. Everything you can imagine. Shrubs and everything.
Oh, excellent. Okay, well, we might give that a go as well.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Anne.
Okay, thank you very much.
Bye.
Have a lovely day. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
We've got Bruce from Singleton, and he's got a tiny white fly on his tomato pants.
Oh, how dare they, Bruce?
Yeah.
How dare they? So what have you sprayed with anything?
Oh, you tried Malathon in that last year.
Right.
Had Vegemite and Malathon on the steak
Right, so yeah.
There's thousands of them.
Right, okay. So have you tried the Melathon yet again?
Yeah, but not this year, but it sort of thins them out a bit, but they just keep coming back.
Yeah, okay. I wonder if we put something in with it, a little bit of white oil, not too much, but just something to adhere to them.
Yep.
Don't put too much in because you don't want your tomato plants suffering from the white oil. But no. I'd try your Melathon and put a little bit of white oil in.
Yep.
And see how that goes, Bruce. That's about the best thing I could think to advise you with.
Oh, yeah. And what do they call those little flies?
Well, I call them white fly. I think you'll find they are white fly, little monsters.
Yeah. All right. And just keep persistent spraying them.
Yes, you know, every week or so, every couple of weeks, but make sure you're not damaging the tomato plants.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome, Bruce.
All right, we've got Robin now from East Maitland, and she's got a very large lily-pilly hedge, and it might be diseased.
Oh, hello, Robin. I think I know what you've got. You've got psyllid on there.
I've got what?
You see, I've got it on mine too, if that's how I know. Psyllid.
Okay.
It's with a P.
It's a white, fluffy, and when you crush it, it's oily inside.
Yes, I'm pretty sure you've got psyllid.
And what do I do to get rid of that?
Look, the best thing you can do is probably some Melathon and white oil.
I've tried white oil.
Right. Sorry. Well, you need the Melathon in it, though.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you got any Melathon?
No, I don't think I've got any of that.
Right, okay. Look, it's very responsive to a systemic spray, if you've got a systemic spray anywhere.
No, I have to go to a shop to get something.
Yeah, probably if you go to the garden centre, that's the best place. So just ask them.
I did take a photo of him, and he gave me these granules to put on the roots.
On the roots?
Didn't work either. Yeah.
Oh.
He said so I've just a few different things. And nothing seems to be getting it. It seems to be spreading. But my hedge is probably, I don't know, 40, 50 metres long. It's a massive hedge.
They start out with as little bumps, don't they? Little lumps.
I just noticed them as these white, fluffy balls.
Right, okay. Look, there is a product called David Gray's. And that's
David Gray's.
And it's in a white and red bottle, and that's a systemic spray. Now, that's what I use on my lily pilly. I've got a big one in a pot.
Okay, yeah.
So David Gray's, but I'm sure if you go to a garden centre, you would get it.
Okie dokie, I'll head off to the old heritage garden then.
Oh, yes, I think they're still there. They're definitely still there.
Yeah, I think they're flower power now.
Okay. Thanks very much, Robin, for the call. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
It's Gardening Talk back on 2NURFM 103.7. Got time for a couple more calls. And a Jim from Bonnells Bay, he's got a question about a red robin plant that's got a grub in it.
Oh, hello, Jim. That's no good. Have you only got one or you got a hedge?
It's not a hedge. They're very tall trees. They're about over 4 metres. And they're growing in a raised garden bed. And most of them are healthy. And there was one last year that got attacked by this little grub. And he sort of, it seems to chew up the leaf or partly chew it.
Right.
And then he forms like a cone. And he's inside the cone. And then he lets himself down, up and down on like a web. And you see them on the ground, and it's like a leaf moving across the ground.
And they multiply. Jim, what did you use last year?
Well, I didn't because it's so hard to get at them. They're that high up. And I'm one of those old blokes that don't climb ladders anymore. And
understandably.
Yeah.
I don't either. Probably Greg doesn't either, trust me. Jim, look, there's a very simple solution for you. You need to get David Gray's systemic spray.
All right.
David Gray's, and it's in a red and white bottle, and right. that will go right through the tree for you.
All right.
It'll get absorbed right through, which should knock those little stinkers off.
It did come back this year. The new shoots in the one that was affected, that had all the red shoots, and then it's turning green. But I have noticed a couple around. I found three in the tree yesterday when I did some pruning.
Right. Okay. Yep. So time to get it onto it very quickly.
So David Gray.
David Gray's, and probably Jim from a garden centre.
Okay.
Okay, good luck with that. Let us know how you go with it.
Righto, Judy. Thanks for
Thank you, Jim. You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
We've got Kath now from Madawi, and she's worried about an old navel orange tree that might be ringbarking itself.
Hello, Kath. How old is it?
Well, I'm actually calling for a neighbour. She's two doors up, and she was worried about this tree. It's about 30-year-old, she said.
That's an old citrus. That is an old citrus.
So she's not the original owner, so she's a bit concerned about it. She said that it just seems to be the bark around the base has gone really weird, like falling off. And
She could have a borer in it. She could have borer.
Well, she said there's no sawdusty stuff around.
Oh, right,
I did ask her, had she put the mulch too close, and she assures me that it's not.
Right.
She's just a bit concerned. It's got fruit on it.
Right, okay, and it's, what, 30 years old?
Well, she expects it's about that, yep.
Yeah. Look, honestly, that tree is probably doing very well for its age. Mm. And if you can't see anything, any insects there ring barking it at all?
Well, I don't know. I should have got her to call, actually. No, but I've written
that's
down
all right, yeah.
She mentioned
yeah, that's all right. But, look, yes, we probably need a little bit more info about it.
More info, yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, well, what if I get it to sort of dig lightly around the base and maybe there's some grub or something in there, or maybe even have a look at that? Or
yeah, well, there would be.
It's starting to drop a few leaves off.
And it's old.
Some leaves are dying, but not overly.
Yeah. No, look, honestly, that's a very good lifespan for a navel orange.
Yeah, okay.
But anyway, if she's still worried, Kath, you know, you could find some more info out for me and give us a ring next week.
I will do that, yep.
Thank you, Kath.
Yep. I listened to I ring you ages ago about my black passion fruit too. It's going all right. The one I had, it's in a pot like and I don't think it's a grafted one either. So you said it had come good eventually. It looks like it is. So
good,
that.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the weather's so unsettled, Kath, at the moment. We need to settle down.
Yeah. It's all good. Should I give it a bit of a flourish or something like that?
Oh, definitely, yeah, definitely.
Okay,
you can use flourish every week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All good.
Okay.
Give the whole garden a drink.
Thanks for the call, Kat.
No, thank you, Judy, very much. I'll let her know.
Thank you.
Okay, mate.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you very much, Kath. We're nearly out of time for another week, Judy, but we really should mention how we get these jacaranda trees flowering.
Oh, yes, we've got to.
Now, you reckon you give them a bit of a whack?
No. Honestly, I used to do mine with my stiletto heels.
Okay.
You're not laughed. Don't laugh, Greg, because I've given you written evidence there.
It's very true. Yeah. It's in a book all there.
In the Yates Garden Guide, and yes. It's my name under it. And if the stiletto heel frightens you, we'll just get a bit of timber with a nail in it, and we'll talk again next week about it.
Right, Judy Sharp, thank you very much. We'll also talk bonsais next week too.
Oh, yes, we have to do that. We've got a bonsai man ringing.